Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about it, Tuesday Church Folk Day. And we talked about the woman who lied on her husband and got his probation violated and sent him back to jail for another about 5-6 years. Well, she started feeling guilty and guilty and guilty about her lies because she thought he was cheated. And she went before the judge and she asked the judge to please let him out because she lied and it wasn't his fault. And he said, "Are you kidding me? Absolutely not." And he has to stay in jail now until his time of release, regardless of whether she's confessing to lying or not. What about the man who was dying slowly? Did he not realize it? Well, they say if you did one, did you better get two. After he murdered his girlfriend by strangulation, put her in a plastic bag, and drove her around to the backyard, to the ditch that he had dug. And as he was burying her, he died from a heart attack. Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Well, and the dad who wanted to get those social media numbers and jump off a cliff, took his wife and his son along for the festivities and lost his balance and fell off the cliff to his death. Well, you know, that got us talking about the role of a wife. And ladies, are we doing our job properly? You know, was it your job to stand there and watch him and film him jumping over this cliff for the photo op? What about lying on your husband because you think he's guilty of one thing and now getting him sent to jail? Was that doing your job? I don't know. You know, we got to talking to our panel yesterday, and they gave us something to think about. Yes. You know, we have been given as wives to be a helpmate. And we have got to remember that we have to stay on our job. We can't take a break because that'll be the time when they'll be standing out on that ledge and ready to jump. And if we're not on our job, they just might fall off, opposed to this plan to jump with a safety net. So, you know, yesterday was some eye-openers, some comments, and, you know, just some way to think about this thing just a little bit differently than we may have thought about it in the past. Yeah. You know, sometimes we, you know, take these jobs as, you know, something as, you know, passively. We take it passively and we don't really put a lot of thought into our responsibility. And we can't turn the switch on and off as we desire. You're going to have to get on that job and stay on that job. You know, any of us are clamoring to be wives, and then when you're a wife, you don't know what to do with yourself. You don't know what to do with the husband. You don't know what to do with the kids. Oh, yeah, they're out here, and I have seen them. I'm like, well, did you ask for this? Well, what happened? So, no, that God is holding us accountable. And we want to make sure we're doing our job accordingly. Okay. All right now. Well, today is Wow Wednesday. And you know how it is over here on a due time with Pastor Steph on a Wednesday. Well, the ladies have got something for us, I'm sure, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm kind of enjoying the topic for today. But before we can get there, we don't know what Vivian is going to be bringing to the table. So we're looking forward to having that conversation first. All right? Well, make sure you get those things in order to get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Lupus is a chronic autoimmune disease that is hard to diagnose, difficult to manage, and if not treated, can become life-threatening. Lupus affects adult women 10 times more frequently than men. There is no cure for lupus, and those affected oftentimes don't look sick.
I have lupus. I struggled for years until the Lupus Alliance gave me the help that I needed.
To help us unlock the mystery of lupus, visit milupus.org or call 800-705-6677. We are here for you.
Good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. And we have a lot to be grateful for instead of kind of dragging through the morning and, you know, finally get over hump day. Remember, God has been gracious to us. God has been extremely gracious to us as he has spared us another day and another day. Here we are in the middle of the week, safe and sound in our right frame of mind. A lot to be grateful for. A whole lot of people today did not wake up. A whole lot of people today are not in their right frame of mind. A whole lot of people today are burying someone. A whole lot of people today didn't have a home to wake up in, a bed to get out of. So, you know, we have a lot to be grateful for. So come on. And let's say, wow, look at God. I love it. And I love him. Because we just can't be God-given, can we? And we're not going to find anything or anyone to match his love. And we're not going to be able to match what he does, no matter how hard we try. All right. Well, let's say good morning to our girl Vivian, who's coming to us with the socially conscious segment. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks.
All righty. You got to have that Mariah voice. Come on, let's give that another try. How are we today, Vivian?
I'm well, thank you. I'm a little hoarse because I think of allergies are getting to me, but I'm okay, thank you.
All right. Okay. What you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we are going to take a look at those COVID numbers. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are, excuse me, California, still holding that number one spot with 102,949 cases. That is an increase of over 58,000 cases since last week. Florida is number two with 60,396 cases. That is an increase of over 4,000 cases since last week's report. Illinois is number three with 37,769 cases. That is a decrease of over 2,000 cases for Illinois. New York State is number four with 35,394 cases. That is a decrease of just over 100 cases since last week. And New Jersey is number five with 34,007 cases. That is a decrease of over 88,000 cases since New Jersey was in our top five back in January of this year. So New Jersey has re-entered the top five after about 5 months of not being in the top five. And just an FYI, Puerto Rico isn't far. They are number eight with a very small decrease. And New York City is moving up. They're number six, just inching their way to back to the top five. So continue to take precaution, you know, wear your mask. Don't be in large crowds if you don't have to, et cetera, because the numbers are not doing that great. Now, in local news, authorities say crime is heating up as the temperatures also rise. According to reports, violent crimes are up by more than 40% in New York City alone. And firearm violence and or killings are up 30% since 2019. For some reason, a lot of this is happening in the subway system. Over the weekend, a 48-year-old man was killed in a random, unprovoked attack. Police said it appears the gunman who shot and killed the man at the Canal Street subway station on Sunday morning picked his victim randomly. He is now the fourth person to be killed in a city subway system so far this year. And again, we're only in the month of May. One way the mayor is planning to help with gun control and crime is by adding plainclothes police officers in neighborhoods with the highest crime rate. And we know the potential that that can bring for, you know, people of our color. But hopefully something works because it's definitely getting crazy out there. And speaking of crime, we have the tragic events of the Robb Elementary School in Texas, where 18-year-old Salvador Ramos walked into the elementary school and killed what has been updated to now 20 people, including 18 children, ranging in ages starting at 7 years old. The school was just days away from closing for the summer. There is no information as to why he chose that school or what his motive was for the shooting. Reports say that the 18-year-old had just shot his grandmother and then crashed a car near the school. So it could have very well just been a random attack on the schools just because it was nearby. They're saying that Ramos had on body armor, so more than likely he had plans to shooting up something, but again, nothing has been officially determined. Ramos exchanged gunfire with police before being fatally shot by officers. Two officers were also shot, but not fatally, by Ramos during the event. And as the story develops, I'll be sure to keep bringing you all updates for those who don't watch the news. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that sent me this story last night, making sure that I was able to, you know, bring it to you all today. And to try to end things on some good news, we have an update on the baby formula shortage. Joe Biden has begun Operation Fly Formula to help bring some relief to parents struggling right now. According to reports, a military plane carrying enough specialty infant formula to feed 500,000 babies arrived Sunday in Indianapolis, the first of several flights expected from Europe. They are saying that we should start seeing more from formula in the stores starting as early as this week. So thank God for that. They are also in talks of long-term plans that include having more formula providers in the U.S. so that, quote, no individual company has this much control over supply chains, end quote. There are plans to relieve formula shortages by receiving formula from Germany as well. So help is on the way, guys. We should be seeing baby formulas back on the shelf as early as this week. And as summer approaches, if you are looking for some low-cost fun for you and your kiddos, try your local movie theater. Several movie theater chains are giving families a cheap way to have some fun. Regal Cinemas is hosting its 2022 Summer Movie Express by showing 20 movies for just $2. According to the company, the $2 movies will only air on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Brand new movies are not included. Instead, you may be familiar with the featured titles, which include Madagascar, The Lego Movie, Despicable Me, Shrek, and Space Jam. Cinemark is bringing back its Summer Movie Clubhouse program, which shows select movies for just $1.50 per ticket. They're showing movies like Baby Boss, Sing 2, Paw Patrol the Movie, and AMC Theaters also offering moviegoers a way to save with $5 fan fave programs, which offers select movie tickets at just $5. So check your local theater to see if they are a participating location. And it's a nice way to get your kids out of the house and doing something safe and fun for a low cost. And now for our wow story of the week. A 3-year-old is in the hospital fighting for his life after ingesting methamphetamine. Reports say a 3-year-old, they have not named him or her or given us much information on the baby for their protection. They're saying that the child tested positive for meth and was hospitalized for months after staying at his or her father's home in Missouri. Police said upon investigation, they found methamphetamine mixed with candy in a candy dish in the father's home that was kept at the child's level. Police say there was also a 1-year-old child in the home at the time, but that child did not show signs if they had ingested the drug. The 3-year-old was hospitalized with kidney and liver issues along with muscle deterioration. They're also saying that the child was only supposed to stay with their father, who is Malcolm Smith, for one night and began to show symptoms on that same night. So he was just there for a night, and during that one night, this happened to the poor child, 3 years old. I don't know where the mother was. They don't give much information on her, why the child was there. I've never seen a meth head that you can't tell they on something. You might not know it was meth, but I've never seen a meth head that you couldn't tell was on some type of drug. So I don't know why she would be bringing her two children to this man's house. And unfortunately, that one night landed him about 5 months in the hospital and fighting for his life. Just a very sad story. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wow stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. Well, we've got these COVID numbers going up and down. So,
yep.
California, though. Oh, my goodness. When you said the 102,000 plus, I was like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, they are straight out of control out there. So I don't
mm-hmm.
know, you know, the playoffs are in effect for the basketball season, and Golden State is a part of, you know, that particular ball club that's in the playoffs. And I got to tell you, you know, when I'm looking at the game, I'm not seeing very many masks. And girl,
right.
If you want to see the stadium, is jam-packed.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, they are in there. So you're talking about
last night, I don't know why, but my husband was watching just clips of the game, and we fell on like some African basketball league, and them compared to us, their stadium, it seemed like they're still social distancing because the stadium was not jam-packed. A lot of the people that were watching still were wearing their masks. So it just seems like it's out here that they're just throwing caution to the wind and they're packing these stadiums and nobody's wearing a mask anymore.
Yep. 'Cause
in Africa, they were still social distancing, still had on their masks. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you see some of the coaches with their mask on, but they're pulling it up and down. So I'm like, well, what the
right.
point? And I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, as they're talking, they're lifting them up and down. So it's really no surprise. Now, last night, they weren't playing here. They were in Texas. And, you know, for them at the Staples Arena, I think, no, they're not in Staples, I'm sorry, because they're in San Francisco, Golden State, but they have the entire outside of the arena where people pull up their
uh-huh.
chairs and they watch the big screen from the outside
wow.
because, you know, there's no playing on the inside. So they do, you know, show it on their huge screen and all of them sitting out there, no mask on. And I'm like, I don't understand. You people just don't get it. So that's one of the reasons why I'm sure that California's numbers have soared. Because, again, if you count the stadium alone,
right.
These people, I mean, packed, oh, my goodness. And with no mask. There's nowhere in the world I'm going to be sitting there with all those people and not have a mask on. That's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that I was thinking about when you read the number. I wanted to make sure there were some questions I had about this Texas shooting issue. And now, did you say that he shot his grandmother on the way
yes.
to the school? Wow.
I don't know if it was on the way or if it was, like, at their home, but they're saying that right before the shooting that they found out he had just shot his grandmother. I don't believe she was in the car when he crashed it, so I'm thinking it was in the home He shot her first, drove out of the, you know, drove away, crashed the car, and then went inside the school and started shooting.
Wow. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Vivian, for that socially conscious segment. Well, stick around if you can, just in case we have any questions.
Will do.
All right, thanks. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too.
All righty. Oh, our ladies are on. So we're going to say good morning to our Elder Nitisha. Good morning, Elder Nitisha.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Are you feeling better from last week?
I am. I'm 100% better. I still have a little cough, but in terms of body aches and fatigue, I feel much better.
Well,
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank God. So, minus our wow story, what are we talking about this morning?
I think I'm just overwhelmed with just our children continuing to be part of the conversation, you know, part of the headlines. And so I guess we could tackle the 3-year-old, you know, who is doing what 3-year-olds do and eat candy, right?
That's our wild story.
That's the wild story?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought not the 19 kids. Gotcha. Okay, I thought the 19 babies would be the wild story. Sorry. So then, yeah, we can talk about what everyone is talking about, which is a wow to me, and that is the 19, right, you know, children being gunned down. My heart, I couldn't even sleep last night. My heart was just so heavy in regards to that. 19 children and 2 teachers brings the total to 21 elementary school kids. It's time for us to call attention to our congressmen, councilmen, senators, to really, you know, start looking at these policies around gun control. I think it's time for us to get into action. We can't just keep watching the news, you know, and then change the channel, you know, feel what we feel in our sadness for a couple of weeks and then move on. I think we have to really make a decision that, no, I'm going to hold my elected official in my community accountable to say, and what is your stance on gun control? And really hold them to accountability.
Yeah, this is, this is, again, I believe another copycat, you know. And unfortunately, our children are the targets. And, you know, they're still getting up into these schools. How are we getting into these schools to even be able to target these children? And I'm still a little lost, you know, as to, you know, here in New York, you know, you got to meet the security, you know, the staff when you go up in the school. And again, it's elementary school students, you know, Vivian said as young as 7. And that's what's heartbreaking, because they haven't even, you know, Shanti said yesterday, you know, they just go to school, do what they do, having fun, playing.
Right.
You know, the world is theirs. And unfortunately, who knows you're going to meet this fate at 7.
Yeah.
It's like, again, at the hands of another young person. We're not talking
18.
We're not talking about the 68-year-old person or the 50-some-odd-year-old individual. Another child. That's the other heartbreaking thing, Elder Nitisha. What are we talking about here?
Exactly. In association with gun laws and policies, I think that we do need to address mental illness, right? And I know that we've begun trying to normalize counseling and psychologists and psychiatrists and things of that nature. But I do still think, unfortunately, there is a mistrust, you know, for therapy and for counseling in certain cultures and ethnicities. And I think, you know, we have to start taking this more seriously. I just read an article that actually showed his instability on his social media. One, when he got the guns for his 18th birthday, he began to post them all over social media. Then he started tagging, like, random people. And then one young lady, he pretty much said to her, he texted her at 11. He committed these acts at 11:30. He texted her at 11 and said, "I'm about to." And she was like, "You're about to
what?" Wow.
And he said, "Well, I'll text you after I finish."
Wow.
You know, just so mental illness is something else that we have to start being vigilant about as well.
Yeah, it's you know, it's amazing that all of this goes on social media prior to committing the act. Now, you said he got it from a gift. Who gave it to him as a gift?
He went and bought them. He bought two rifles. Mm-hmm. He was posting with them and sharing them on social media. Because when you turn 18, I guess, in Texas where he lived, you're able to then go and, you know, and purchase guns. So he actually went and purchased them for his 18th birthday and was posting and posing with them all over social media.
Wow. You know, unfortunately, you know, you can go buy guns. You know,
mm-hmm.
here in the north, you know, you got to get them illegally. You know, down in the south, you go buy them, and this is why we need to hold these politicians accountable.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be, you know, a gun on the shelf for sale, like it's you know, it's a book for sale, or it's, you know, flour for sale. You cannot keep doing this stuff. You can't keep doing this. You cannot. I want to come back and we're going to talk about this a little more. But thank you so much for joining us today. Let's say good morning to our Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning to you, our ladies, our listeners. Happy Wow Wednesday.
Amen. Good morning to you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. We're talking about this this Texas. I want to keep it here for a minute. We're talking about this Texas incident. And, you know, what are some of your thoughts?
I'm trying to recall. I'm almost positive that I recall someone else killing a grandparent or a parent and then going out and killing a large group of people. I'm almost positive that this is not the first time.
It's not.
That we have heard of an occurrence like this. My heart goes out, like, you know, we're at a point now where I keep saying it, there is an attack on our children, you know, and if you don't see it, if you never saw it before, you've got to see it now. You know, the other thing is that, you know, a lot of our youth, and I'm not talking about us all, you know, but some of our youth have lost the respect for family, relatives. You don't matter. If I'm mad at you, you know, I'm willing to take you out to get my agenda. Now, why he chose this school right now, nobody seems to know, and it's still very early, you know, is that you would attack family first and then people that, I don't know if that's a mixed school, you know, because Al often talks about how there's two schools in his building. Was this a mixed school that you frequent? You know, why specifically target? But you know, at this point, all these little lives and two teachers are now gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there was a young man who he shot up the school, but they found his mother dead in the house, who he had killed. So, yes, you're right. This is not the first time where you've seen this happen. And, you know, you're trying to figure out, you know, where's the breakdown? Where is the breakdown? Because the fact of the matter is, everybody is not in the same category. You know, you've got, like you said, you've got these young people that are walking around so angry. And I have one. I'm laying it out there. I have one. She's just mad. And I said, what are you so unhappy about? You know, and I don't think they can even really tell you why they are so unhappy, disgruntled, because she can never answer me. Now, you know, I'm not saying she's that, you know, she's going to go postal or anything like that, but guess what? Everybody who picked up a gun was here at the same level I'm talking about, and they cannot explain what is going on with them that they are so unhappy when they have not been deprived, denied anything. So it's sad that, you know, we are here dealing with, you know, these young people, and she ain't mentally ill. Ain't nothing wrong with her. It's nothing wrong with her. I raised her, and listen, it ain't nothing wrong with her no more than the other two. She's just in this arena where everybody else around her wants to do what they want to do. They don't want to hear nothing. You can't say nothing. They don't want to know nothing if they have not thought of it themselves, or if the friends haven't told them. You know, it's just, I'm going to bring up another issue that just came through, but I'm going to let all of you speak first. But, you know, there's this issue with parental guidance. They're warring against anything. And what are y'all so mad about? Everything ain't no mental illness. And some issues, there it is the case. And when they start doing, you know, the background on all of these people who are committing these massive crimes, you know, everybody's got a different story. Oh, this happened and that happened. And, you know, we talked about this last week. Why does everybody else have to be subjected to your hate? Whatever it is, those children did nothing to you. Those two teachers did nothing to you. Now, you might be mad at grandma for whatever it is, but you're talking about people who did nothing to you, but yet they have become victims of your anger. So, you know, I'm just saying, like you said, this is not the first time where we found a parent or someone murdered, and then on to the big thing.
And also the level of anger, you know, the
right.
Thing that I've often seen is that a lot of them have the privileges, you know, whereas a generation before, you know, like my generation may not have been able to have access to this or access to that, you know. Certain times the television went off, so it wasn't like I could watch TV whenever I wanted to. I didn't have access to this, and I couldn't do that, you know. And then it seems as though when you say no, you know, then it's like, it's not like I'm disappointed. I'm flaring off and not only just getting angry, I'm giving you words that I should never hear a child say to their parent. And not only that, I'm getting to the point that my aggression is so extreme until I'm hitting you, I'm attacking you, I'm stabbing you, I'm shooting you, I'm ending your life because you told me no.
Yep. It's really gotten to a level where it's just horrific. And this is where it ends up. And again, you have the 18-year-old who shot up the store. You have the 18, how many of these kids have gone and shot up schools? You know, it's just, where, how do we get here? How do we get here? I'm going to open up this mic to Pastor Kim, and we know what's going to go down, what's coming up and coming out. But we thank you so much for joining us this morning, Lady Tamika. Let's talk to our Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and good morning to everyone. How are you all?
Well, thank you. Well, how are you doing today?
Wow. I am doing absolutely wonderful. My heart is a little sad, but nevertheless, I am thankful and grateful that the Lord saw fit to allow me to see another day.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Kim, you're in the school system. What are
yes.
we talking about when we talk about, you know, you're in a classroom? And tell, okay, let me ask you this. When you walk into the school where you are currently, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are you meeting any level of security? Are you meeting just a person at a desk? What's the setup?
Well, we used to have a security guard that was at our front door, but now they have it where you have to, like, be buzzed in. They buzz you in from our office, and you speak to them over an intercom, and you have to tell them who you're there to see, who you're picking up, or what have you. And then at that point, someone in administration will walk that child down to the door. Our other doors are to stay locked. The children know that they are never, ever to let anyone in those doors under no circumstances.
Okay. So in other words, you don't literally get into the school.
No, you're not getting in there unless they buzz you in.
Okay.
Or unless it's through the front door, main door entrance, and the back door entrance, which is where the principals and the other administrators, they park on the other backside, and they have to be buzzed in unless they have a key. Now, we have maybe three other doors that someone would have to open up that door and hold it open when the other people are coming in, or someone would have to let you in, you know, in those other doors.
So is it safe to say that something like this occurrence would not happen at a school, at that school?
Not at that one.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Unless somebody okay. slipped in that was coming in to get a kid, and, you know, flipped out or something like that, that was a parent or what have you, but just some random person just coming in that we don't know, no.
Well, it seems like they need this set up at a whole lot of other places, a whole lot of other schools. That needs to be the standard, because if you have to identify yourself and then, you know, you're walking the children out and down to the parent, that is a heavy safety precaution where no one really gets access into the school to be able to commit this type of crime. So that's a plus. And this needs to be adopted into the school system, because I still can't understand, Pastor Kim, with all of This is far from being the first, second, or the third time. How are these people,
mm-hmm.
these random people, he's 18, he ain't got no reason to be in the school. How are you getting in these schools to be able to commit these type of crimes? So clearly,
well, that was
no...
my question.
Okay.
Did this take, now, because mind you, we're in Texas, so I'm sure that it's hot there. Were these children outside on the playground, or were they inside of the building when this took place? Because my thing is, I thought that maybe if it was outside on a playground or something like that,
right.
I can see it. You got a wide open place where you got a whole bunch of kids and teachers outside with the kids. I can see that happening.
Absolutely.
But after what happened in the school, in that other school that just took place, you would expect that all schools would be taking even more safety measures, you know.
Absolutely.
On a whole another level.
Absolutely. And that's what
Vivian
was talking. That came across my mind. I'm like, well, were they outside? Because again, this is not the first time. It's like, what are you doing to take these children, you know, and put them into a more safe haven? Because we all know that previously that people have gotten inside the school. So are you still lax that the people are still getting inside the school? Vivian, do they say whether the children were on the inside of the school or whether they were on the outside in the playground?
They don't say, but they did say that he was in the school. So he walked through the doors. I don't think anybody stopped him or anything, and he just started shooting.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you.
You just flat out get in the door. You just walk right on in.
You know what?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Administration, if they have not put in more safety measures, Pastor Kim, they need to be held well, because there's no way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if this is the case, if this is the case where this person was allowed to walk up in the school and even at that front desk, you know, was able to shoot somebody, you know, again, because I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Kim, I'm going to tell you. It wouldn't be Stephanie sitting up at no front door and you ain't got no plan than somebody busting open the door and walking up there. Won't be me.
No, ma'am. Not at all. that's why I just, you know, I mean, this has happened too. I mean, had we not have had the other prior situations that have taken place in school that were indications of, look here, y'all got to tighten up on security, you know.
Right.
Not to mention the mental state of people because of the pandemic and everything else that is just, you know, a red flag to let you know, hey, we got to do some things different. You know, we have got to protect these babies, you know, a little more. You know, we've got to do something. We got to tighten up. I know people don't, you know, it's a thing. People don't want to go to work, you know, or whatever. But something with the Homeland Security, it just has to be different.
Right. It does. It really does. And here's the reason why. This is exactly why it needs to be different. Thank you so much, Pastor Kim, for joining us today. We've got some comments from our listeners. And let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
All righty. What are the listeners saying this morning?
Okay. Well, there's been, you know, a lot of the listeners have been agreeing with what the ladies have been saying. I personally had another comment. As you ladies were talking, it reminds me of, so when you work at a bar or at a restaurant, as a bartender, sometimes even as a server, they have something that they call the Dram Shop Law, and that law holds the person accountable. So if you're sitting at my bar and I continue to serve you drinks to the point where now you're drunk and you now leave my bar, this bar, and you drunk, get behind the wheel of your car, you drive, and now you kill someone or hurt someone, they can now come and sue me as well. I get held accountable, not just as the owner, but as the bartender. And I believe that if they were to make a law like that for these people who sell these guns, there'll be a few less sales, because blindly and just like, listen, you got the money, I'm going to sell you the gun, especially if I'm a legit business owner. I own a gun store. You know, I'm not someone who's dipping in the alleyway trying to sell you this gun that probably got bodies on it. But legitimately, this is my store. I have a license to sell these guns. But if I was to be held accountable for each sale that I make, I may think twice about selling you this gun. And I don't know who in their right mind, we're not talking about someone who, because money, a lot of people, money just determines what they do, the choices that they make. But in your right frame of mind, like if you were blessed with common sense and you as a kid walk in my store and you want to buy a gun, for what? For what? But because my business is legitimate and you got the money, I'm going to sell it to you. So I feel like there needs to be a law put in that will hold those people as well. So here this kid was able to buy this gun from Mark and killed his grandmother and these kids. He also needs to get locked up. Because what were your reasons for selling what were your reasons for selling this gun to him? He didn't come in and say he's a cop. He didn't come in and say he's a private investigator who is licensed to own a gun, you know, for his job. It's just way too careless.
Absolutely. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing pretty much the views of the listener and yours as well. We'll be back. We'll be back. Here's something that I want to put on the floor, you know, that was just said. And I'll start with you, Lady Tamika. All right, so I own a gun store, so I'm allowed to sell guns. You know, so let's just say, you know, the process, you know, we check, you know, do a background check, and I guess the background check is to really see whether you've ever committed a crime. But what if we now put something that says you have to go through a psychological evaluation? In other words, it's like Shanti said, you got the gun. A background check takes, you know, 15 minutes to come back. And now, like she said, some 18-year-old kid wants to come and buy a gun again because all you need is a clean background and the money. It doesn't matter. I ain't got to ask no questions. And you know, there's nothing else for me to do. I just make my money. What's your thought on, you know, extending, you know, well, first of all, the gun shouldn't be for sale anyway. That to me is, so when Elder and our teacher brings up the gun law, take the guns off the out the store. Why do you buy guns anyway? You know, to hunt, but certain guns you ain't buying to hunt. You're not buying no semi-automatic weapon to hunt, no deer and all of that kind of stuff. But calming down a little bit, you know, what happens if we were to extend, you know, now you have to do a psychological evaluation and that means you have to wait, you know, what do you think that would make some difference?
I do believe that would make a difference. Also, you know, they got access to you to get things, you know, online. You know, how are you evaluating my psyche when, you know, I can just go online and just pick out, you know, that should be completely off the table. That should be not something that you should have access to. You know, I think it is important. You know, you're going to get the majority of people that, you know, are a little off. You know, there's something that they're going to say, something that they're going to do. You know, and I think that it should be definitely an in-person, not something, you know, because everything now is virtual. No, you need to be in-person, not even on a Zoom. I need to be able to see you in person. So when I ask you these questions and I before providing you with this permit, I want to see what your reaction is to my question. Did your eyes look a certain kind of way? Did your body language shift? It is very important that, you know, somebody, you know, who can pick up those triggers, can be able to say, oh, no, you can never have a gun, you know, for everyone's safety, you know. I think it is important. She's right.
Absolutely. That's it. You know, do you think if, you know, they put more things in the process that it would
curtail some of this outcome of you just taking your gun, walking up in a school or store or church or the hair salon, and just outright murdering people.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a greater evaluation or just, you know, I think that they should take a greater measure of, you know, just being more watchful and mindful of who are being able to purchase these guns. I mean, but at the same time, guess what? You know, people have always been able to get a hold to what they're trying to get a hold of. I mean, it was the same thing like with my nephew, you know, when he was locked up, you know, when he was for the domestic violence situation, you know, he was able to get a hold to a gun, which allowed him to be able to take his wife and his own life, you know. So, you know, his old boss that didn't really see the dysfunction and the PTSD, he didn't see any of that. So he just saw him as this great guy, you know. So sometimes you're going to miss it. You know, everybody is not going to show you that they're off or they are, you know, they got some mental issues or what have you. All you're going to see is the good in these people. You're not going to be able to know that. You know, the elevator ain't going all the way to the top, you know. And then you got people, again, even if you can't get it, people got people that can, you know.
Right.
These people know how to slide through the cracks. You know, like they say, it's more than one way to skin a cat. These people know how to get what it is that they're trying to get, whether it be a gun, whether it be drugs, whatever it is that they're trying to get their hands on that they should not or should not be eligible for, not that they might not qualify for, they might not have the money for. They know how to get it, rather that mean breaking somebody's house and take theirs, you know, put somebody else's name on it, their mamas, their daddies, whatever. They don't get it.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate. But yes, by all means, you know, try to enforce this stuff, you know, of who has a gun or who's able to get them, you know. Is that always going to help? I'm not going to say that it always does, but, you know, it wouldn't hurt to definitely try.
Absolutely, absolutely. We always go with where there's a will, there's a way. Like you said, Pastor Kim, when people are determined, they're going to make sure they get to the goal that they are after. Aisha, you know, Shanti brought up a good point. You know, you're 18 years old. You're a gun owner. You're allowed to sell guns. You're not doing anything illegal. But do you sell the gun to an 18-year-old? Because you got to show ID. So you know he just turned 18 3 months ago. But you ain't got to, you don't have to ask any questions. You know, as long as that background check comes through clear, as long as your dollars are on that table or that credit card hits the counter, you good. And that's as far as your responsibility goes. What's the thought behind that process?
Well, I mean, I think that takes us back to my original thought about why it's important for us to get our policymakers involved, because if you are in a state that is a carry state, then by law, you are able to sell. They have a right to be able to carry their guns. They have a right to be able to purchase a gun. But I do think that psychiatric evaluation is an appropriate step. I think, you know, a psychiatric evaluation could have, at least in this particular situation, could have potentially shown that he had trouble, that there were issues.
Right.
You know, you can see by his background, he was, you know, bullied as a kid. He, you know, there was trauma in his life. Now, we always come up with all that information after a heinous crime has been committed, but it would have been helpful for that information to be used to say, no, you can't have a gun because we are concerned about your mental stability.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So by putting, you know, so by putting some of those barriers in place, I think that would, you know, it would at least, you know, begin to start moving, like you said, start moving us in the right place. A psychiatric evaluation along with gun regulations and things of that nature, I don't think an 18-year-old is emotionally, you know, stable enough to be able to buy a gun. But in certain places, a part of their lifestyle, they buy those things because they're hunters. So it's a father and son bonding. You know, bonding.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage in some places. It's a rite of passage that when my son gets 18, I buy him his first gun. We go out into the woods. We go hunting together. So, you know, I tend to speak, you know, from a Western perspective, like, you know, where we are. But there are other parts, there are other states where, you know, gun activity, it isn't used recklessly. It's used responsibly. It's used for the purpose of hunting and, you know, all these other kind of things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're right. And that's why I say, even when you watch the gun that's being purchased, you know, if you're buying a semi-automatic, they don't hunt with those, you know. So, you know, that would be a flag. That would be for you.
Yeah.
Now at 18, you need, you know, if that's what you were trying to purchase, why do you need this, you know, type of item, you know? And it does really, you know, as you know, here's the thing, you know, like Pastor Ken said, you know, people will always slip through cracks. Like you said, there are people who, you know, use these for legitimate reasons. However, what we do know is, despite the fact that it wouldn't stop everybody, every time you put another step in the process, just one more step in the process, you automatically eliminate people. Because there's some people that just the ease of being able to do this stuff, you know, it helps their cause. But, you know, so if we, you know, if we put these things in place, if we hold these politicians, like you said, accountable, you know, then, you know, we don't, you know, we don't experience this as much as, you know, just because you have to get a permit has probably cut down 25 people from going.
Mm-hmm.
So did we keep 25 people from having a gun in their hand just because you need a permit? Yep. So everything you put into place, even if it stops three people, three crazy people, you know, and
I tell you this.
I
was going to say the people who, you know, are in favor of, you know, carrying guns, their argument would be that if those teachers had guns, if the security officer at the front actually had a gun, then he wouldn't have even been able to make it as far into the school to shoot up 19 kids and kill two teachers, right?
Yeah.
So I think, like, that's the other side of the conversation, is that while we're saying, no, let's just remove all guns, the people who are in favor of carry and conceal would say, no, if we put guns in the right hands, that's actually what we need to do. Because if those teachers had guns and if the security officer had guns, he would have been shut down before he made it to the first classroom or made it to the outside or wherever, you know, it took place.
Yeah, you're right, because they have used that argument before. They have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've had, well, you know, if more people were, if more people were armed, that wouldn't have happened. You know, the gunman would have been down. Yeah, they've used that argument many times. Vivian has a comment. Viv, you're on. Vivian, you talking to the mute button?
Yes, I was. Sorry. Response to that, the guns being in the right hands, they're saying when he crashed his vehicle, he walked with his rifle, and he met two police officers before he got into the school. And he shot with, you know, he had some gunfire exchange with the two police officers, but unfortunately, they were not able to stop him from walking into the school and shooting up the school. So it just doesn't matter if the guns are in the right hands or not, because he met officers before he walked in and they weren't able to stop him from getting into the school building, unfortunately. So it's just really sad that even though the officers were on the scene, he still was able to get in. Two.
Wow.
And they weren't
wow.
killed, but they were shot.
Wow,
yeah,
something about that sounds
fishy. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because the patrol officer who showed up was able to shoot him and take him down. So, yeah, even if those two officers didn't do it, if I'm the security guard and you come walking in with a rifle and I point blank and we have a shootout exchange, even if you shoot me and kill me in the exchange, you going down too, because we both shooting
absolutely.
At each other. So, you know, I don't
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you one thing, ladies, it wouldn't be one of us who happened to make it up in the school, even though there were police officers outside.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely not. It wouldn't have been us.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know what's going down. So
mm-hmm.
thank
and
you
it also just
helped us. Go ahead.
I was going to say it also shows that there wasn't enough security on the school premises, because if you hear guns fired in front of your school, you would at least have the time to, like, lock the doors or stop him from
right.
coming in some type of way.
Right.
So there must have not been anyone by them doors to stop him.
Absolutely. That's why I'm like, how all this gunfire take place outside if you still manage to get on the inside? Ah, that. Mm. Okay. Thank you, Vivian.
You're welcome.
All right, we got more comments from our listeners. Shanti, what you got?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's from me again.
Oh, you know.
Okay. It's from me again. Yes, I do remember when our teacher was saying that they, at one point, they were really trying to enforce the teachers having guns in the classroom. And immediately my mind goes to, we just got finished, like, just came from an epidemic of 4-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 3-year-olds getting a hand of guns, getting their hands on guns and shooting
yeah.
themselves or their siblings or whomever else. So now you tell me that a teacher with a gun in the classroom, now one child is going to be able to get their hands on that gun? That we're not going to hear more stories of a student shooting themselves or the teacher or another student, whether it be intentional or not, but just because the gun was accessible and within their reach. So it's like you thinking, you know, the powers that be who's trying to enforce this, you're thinking because you don't want to let go of the gun laws, you're thinking that, oh, well, if everyone is armed, then the world would be a safer place. No, there would just be more shooting because now at least one kid, even if it was one kid from each school, got their hand on a gun, then you're talking about one other person being injured or it being fatal.
Absolutely.
So it's like, this would just show them that you actually really have to sit down and take at least 5 minutes to really come up with a plan, because that ain't no plan. If your idea entails other people getting hurt, that ain't no plan. So it's like, because we don't want to let go of these things and we just figure we'll implement another part of it, then that should solve it. And it's no, it needs to be some serious changes. That's not a change. You know, at what, like, how many more people have to die before you see that there really has to be a change that's made?
Absolutely. Good point. And you know what comes to my mind, ladies? Have we not covered enough stories where the teachers have lost it? So now I want to put the gun in the hand of a teacher who also has the potential of going postal. I don't think so. You know, because they are breaking down as well. How many stories have we done in 1 year alone? The teacher dragging the child down the hallway, the other teacher who threw the chair back at the kid. Now,
somebody throws a chair at you, you got a gun, chair ain't going to be the thing that gets thrown back at the kid. Now you're going in your drawer and you're pulling out your gun, possibly, and now this is going to be your response. So I don't think putting, you know, like I said to Elder Natisha, I agree. You know, they have raised this issue many times. And now you're looking at the state, the mental state of, you know, of these teachers. And now, you know, would the children be safe? Well, no. You know, so not only would more children have access to a gun, but the teachers who are able now have access to a gun. Thank you, ladies. Before we move forward, I definitely want to talk about this this 3-year-old who the 3-year-old who ingested the methamphetamine that was in the candy dish, mixed with the candy in the candy dish, while visiting the father for one night. And Pastor Kim, we're up to you to begin this conversation.
You know, again, you know, all of these different things that are happening with these children, you know, just carelessness, you know, just, you know, I'm just lost for words. You know, it just really lets us see the day and the time that we are in, because you know, it makes me feel like, you know, parents, are we slipping when it comes to our children? Are we not covering them as their protectors, as their guardians? You know, it's just unacceptable, the things that these children, the things that they're encountering, the things that they're facing. It is just unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, and there has to be an accountability that's going to have to fall on somebody, you know, because these kids didn't ask to be here, and they cannot raise themselves. So, you know, I apologize, I didn't get the whole story because the kids came home this morning from their dad, but from what I just heard, it sounds like, you know, somebody has dropped the ball again.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Pastor Kim. Elder Natisha, this was a story you were ready to address. Well, what were your thoughts?
Similar to what Pastor Kim is saying, just again, so just frustrated with our lack of care and the neglect with our children. Like nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing. Nothing is sacred. Our children aren't sacred. Life isn't sacred. Marriage, like just nothing. Church, nothing is sacred. There's nothing sacred. And we're treating human life with just as though it is nothing. The inability to identify that the person who, again, we talked about it many a time, selfishness, right? Love of self, esteeming your own priorities, your own comfort, your own desires over that of your child. And so regardless of what you may have seen in this man, you're going to leave your kid there because you needed time, or you needed to do whatever it is you felt you needed to do. So you thought that it was better to just jeopardize your child, even if it was just to run errands. Let's say it wasn't to just go have fun, go to the spa, go to the party. Let's say it was just to take care of business and to run errands. And I understand as a mom the need of, I just need somebody for a second to watch my kids so that I can run. But I cannot be so just reckless with this human life that I say, oh, that he they father, he got problems, but they gonna be all right. No, right. Because right. Look, your baby is not all right now.
Yep.
You know, and as much as we would want to hold the father responsible, I mean, listen, we don't know whether he had a problem or not, but
if he wasn't fit to watch, and we keep seeing that, these parents making these poor decisions to leave your kids in spaces and places that aren't suitable for them, and tragedy occurs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I beg to differ. He did have a problem. You had methamphetamine in the candy jar mixed with the candy. You got a problem. Because why would
No, I'm not talking about, okay, sorry. I wasn't referring to as whether or not he had a problem or not. I'm saying irregardless of his problem, Mom, you were supposed to make a wise decision. Yes, so that was my point. I'm sorry.
Okay, I apologize. Yes, I agree. You know, we Vivian made a really good point when she said how when these people are on drugs, there's some, and this is a child's father. You didn't see something, you know, in these 3 years, because it's three-year-old, and Vivian mentioned the one-year-old, and you didn't see something that, why aren't y'all together? Because you didn't see something. Something was wrong where you did not feel the need or the desire to be with this person anymore. Y'all are not together. They're at the father's house, which is an indication that you're not together. Because they didn't say she left them home with dad. So, you've got this issue, like you said, you know, and I'm coming back to that, Alden and Tisha. So let me let Lady Tamika speak as to what your thought is on this issue.
Yeah, we're in a day and time where, you know, there unfortunately is not a sacred place. You know, you leave a child with Uncle such and such. We've already seen where, you know, a child was left with an uncle, if I'm not mistaken, and the child had access to a gun. You know, the sad part about it is, you know, in this day and time, unfortunately, you can't take a break, you know. And I'm looking at a situation where maybe, I don't know if he's the father of both children, but maybe he has been asking, let me take the child for a little while, you know. And I remember back in the days where, you know, parents or mother would take a chance and say, okay, well, I'll let you stay with cousin such and such, or I'll let you stay, you know. And again, you know, it's already been verbalized, well, that's his father. But again, you obviously know that there is an issue. You're not together, and he's on meth. Whether you recognize it or not, and Vivian said it, I've never seen anyone. I beg to differ because I do have a family member who is on meth. But there are some attributes about him that would make you think, if you didn't know that he was on meth, that there is an issue. So you've been in a relationship with this individual. You know he's got problems. You know, and maybe that one time you decided, oh, well, let me let the child stay with the father just to see. And unfortunately, you know, you can't do that. You know, I've even seen situations where a mother said, well, yeah, I'm going to let you keep such and such, but we're staying together. So that means me and the child and you, you know. So, and it wasn't a thing that she wanted to be in a relationship with this gentleman because her relationship with him was over, but she was safeguarding her child. You know, we talked about yesterday, you know, being a wife and not idly standing by. You know, we have to guard that we love. We have to guard our children. We have to guard our family members, our spouses, because you don't know what's out there. And unfortunately, you don't get a chance to take a break. And I'm going to say it as I've said it before, that is your child and that is your assignment. And you have to guard your assignment with everything that you have.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we're at a point where mom duties are different. You know, we've been talking about the mothers who have left the children. We just did the story on Monday. Most recently, did that story on Monday where the woman left, you know, the child in the house, the toddler in the house, and to look at TV. While she go to Petco and get gas. And we realized that it was a breakdown. You know, she couldn't wait for dad to get home from his shift. and she had to leave the child in the house. You didn't have to go get no gas, and the dog's need was not that great, but you would have to leave the child instead of even taking the child with you. Mom duties have shifted, and when I say shifted, I don't mean that the rules have really changed, because they haven't, but they've changed for people. You know, that you know, where we wouldn't consider, there's not one woman on this panel who would consider leaving her toddler home, sitting in front of a TV, to go to Petco, get gas, or anything else. But because there's such a breakdown mentally, this ain't got nothing to do with no mental illness. I'm talking about mental breakdown. You know, mental illness is something that, you know, some people are born with. Sometimes things happen. There's some trauma, blah, blah, blah. These people here, they're simply is gone. This one has a drug problem. How do we know mom didn't have a drug problem? And this was the quote unquote, the better choice. You know, this thing has shifted. And what kind of world are we in when we can't even, okay, so here's the point I'm trying to make. You're a mom. You need a break, quote unquote, for whatever the reason is. Whatever the reason is, judgment free zone, whatever you need it. You ain't got no place to take this child. What do you do? And I'll since I started with Pastor Kim, I'll start with you, Elder Nitesha. You know, what do you do? You know, you just got finished talking about our limitations. But what, we've already criticized them for leaving them in the house by themselves. We've already, you know, we know we can't leave them with our children, and we can't leave boys with Uncle Joe anymore. You know, forget about we can't leave our girls. We can't leave our boys or our girls. You know, we can't leave them with family. We can't leave them with friends, because now we done found out that friends got something else going on in their home that we didn't know was going on in their house. We can't leave them with dad. What do we do now?
You do like we did and like I did as a 23-year-old mother. You strap your baby on you and you go and you do what you got to do. I don't understand all of this comfort and convenience that we think is associated with motherhood. This idea of just dropping our kids off. We did not do that. My grandmother told me, you're having a baby. That is your baby. And you take your baby with you. Where you are is where your baby is. And I strapped my baby on me, and buckled her up in the back, had her legs wrapped around me, and we went everywhere I needed to go. If I needed to go Con Edison, she was strapped on me to go pay Con Edison. If I needed to go for a walk, guess who was strapped on me while I went for a walk? Strap your baby. When did motherhood become so convenient? That goes into this culture of wanting comfort and convenience. So annoying. It is so annoying. That is your, take your child with you. Take your child with you. They got double strollers. You put one in the front, one in the back, and y'all stroll and get to where you got to go. I was a 23, 24-year-old, and when I had to take the bus, I had to strap her on me. I had to take one hand while holding her with the other, and I had to click the thing and get the stroller to get pull up in one motion and carry it and get on the bus. I don't understand.
That's right.
We were grateful.
That's right, Elder Night Teacher. We were grateful when they came up with the stroller that you could work with one hand and just kick the thing that folded it up automatically, because we didn't have to ask somebody to hold the baby so we could do all of this and all of that, or put the baby down so we could do this and do that and put the stroller together, put the bag on our shoulder. Absolutely.
Yep.
I don't know nothing about that. About that. By the time I was 23, I had two. I was 24. But still. I had two.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get exactly what you're talking about. You know, there's some.
We carry that stroller up the train station steps.
That's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Lady Tamika, what do we do? Can't drop the baby off. You know, we need to break. We need to run errands. We need to shop. We got to go with Petco. You know, what do we do, you know, with the children? Can't drop them off with dad. What do we do with the children?
Elder Natisha said it. You know, I remember not really being a latchkey, but wherever mama went, I was right there. You know, if mama had to go into a store, you know, that's where I was. If you can't do a stroller, you know, it all depends on the child. You know, you walk the child. The child gets to learning to walk, and, you know, mama can't pick you up right now. You're heavy. You know, not only that, when that baby gets to sleeping, that's dead weight. However, you know, the mothers of the back day, they did it. You know, and I see them now. You know, I see them, you know, coming up and down the train station. There are certain train stations that don't have elevators. But mama's struggling with that stroller. You know, every now and then when she gets to a certain spot, if I see somebody that's, you know, it's got a stroller, she's trying to struggle. You need help with that? Let me help you get up the stairs. But she gets from point A to point B because it's a necessity. She realizes, okay, I can't stop for a moment. And I've even seen mothers that, like, if they have, you know, a walking child and a stroller, you know, they find a way to get up there. You know, you want me to take, you know, and I'll walk with the mother. You know, she's got a stroller in her hand, or I can either take the stroller or the baby, which one? You know, so that you can see I'm not harming you. I'm walking one-on-one with you, with your child, so that you know when you get to the end of the top of the stop, the top of the step, that you've got coverage, you know, because unfortunately in this day and time, you can't close your eyes for anything. You can't even close your eyes for daddy because, you know, this is what's happening. You can't do it at a baby shower. We've seen people get shot in baby showers. You just have to be so very careful because, you know, the enemy is not playing. He has an agenda, and there it is right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Kim, I have seen clips on the internet where people have put a couch on a train. Now, they didn't took this couch down the steps of the train. They didn't got it to the platform. They didn't got it over the turnstile or through the gate. Literally, I've seen they did a clip on, you know, people need to move certain furniture items, and they just work their way and put it on a train. Now, we could do all of this, but we can't take the kids with us, Pastor Kim.
Right. Let me tell you, folks just even taking their dogs, okay? People got comfort dogs that they take with them out of town.
I'm serious.
I mean, I've seen folks that had two of them carrying them in their little cages or whatever, people thinking that they got their little babies in there. Somebody was telling me that they went to, you know, look at somebody's baby that they thought they had the little, you know, how you have the twin babies in there. They had both of their two dogs in there. Went to look in there to say that the baby was and was like, oh, you got your two dogs on the plane with you, because they got these soothing or comfort animals that they allow you. You'll see it a lot in the airport. Yeah. People got their comfort animals that they have with, you know? So people, if they can travel with the dogs and what have you, and you mean to tell me that you don't love your babies enough to, that's bonding time. You know, having your child with you, you know, look, if you can't find a babysitter, then guess what? Come on, baby, it's me and you. You know, if you can't find something that you could trust, a sister in the church, everybody I know is not in the church, you know, or if you don't have a family member or somebody that you could trust, a nanny or what have you or whatever, then it is what it is. It is what it is. We, like I said, we are in our last evil days. You got perpetrators. You got, you know, folks that you can't even trust some of these parents, as you can see, with their own kids. You know, they letting them get drugs, getting a hold of drugs, and you got parents that are incest and stuff that's going on in the homes where they're violating their children or whatever. And that's why, if we don't know that we need Jesus in these day and times, I just don't know what it's going to take for our people to turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek God's face so this land can be healed. And this is making it even more evident that the land won't be healed because people will not turn. They refuse. It's a stiff-necked generation of people that simply want to continue to do what they want to do. They want to live in the flesh. They don't want to pray. They don't want to seek God's face. They want to please their flesh. You know, men's hearts have waxed cold, just like the Bible has told us that it would. You know, you got to have a cold heart to go out there and kill all of them babies. You got to have a cold heart to go up in a grocery store shooting up people. You got to have a cold heart to commit these acts that are being taken, you know, that are happening in the world now.
Absolutely.
You
absolutely
love yourself and just care more about yourself and what you're trying to do than your babies. It's sad.
Absolutely.
And the handwriting is on the wall. It is.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I've been saying in more recent months, my thought is the children are more at risk with parents now than everybody else. You know, we're worried about, you know, sending them to school and, you know, are the teachers going to be all right? We worry about, you know, are the coaches going to be okay? You know, we're worried about the neighbors. We're worried about old Uncle Joe or cousin who, you know, who drinks, can't leave them kids around him. But the parents, we can't even get past the parents. We can't even get past the parents are doing the biggest destruction in our children's lives now. Lady Tamika, what's your thought?
Yeah, children are more wise than they ever have been, you know, and a lot of times you'll even hear a child say, "Mommy, such and such and such." I remember I was walking with a bunch of strollers, you know, not strollers, I'm sorry, a shopping cart, and I had a whole lot of stuff. And, you know, there's a mother walking with the child, and she was just completely not aware of me coming by. I got a stroller. I got a whole lot of stuff, and I was rushing. And because she was in her phone, she didn't see. You know, she couldn't see the dangers, you know. And I feel like a lot of times, even when we listen to news, you'll hear, you know, that the child said to mommy, "Mommy, such and such and such and such," you know, and It you know, for whatever reason, mommy didn't hear, mommy didn't acknowledge, you know. Even sometimes a child say, "Well, I don't want to go," such, you know. And unfortunately, the signs are being disregarded. We have to be so aware of what's going on because, you know, there are signs everywhere. And as a parent or as a mother, you know, I don't want to disregard because there are some fathers that are really doing it. So I want to give, you know, acknowledgement to them as well. However, you know, you've got to be so very careful because, you know, it's just that one decision that you make that can end your child's life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're going to take that as your word to our parents of today when it comes to their children. Thank you so much. Pastor Kim, you know, what's your word to the parents of today, you know, regarding all the things that we've spoken about?
You know, my word to the parents are that, you know, we have to understand that our children are a blessing to us. You know, it is our responsibility to cover them. It is our responsibility to be their protector. It is our responsibility to not abandon our God-given assignment that we were blessed with to be a parent. We have to pray over our children. We have to train them up in the way they should go so that when they get old, it won't depart from them. It is our responsibility to watch over them and protect them from the hands of the enemy, because at the end of the day, we see that because our upcoming generation is the one that the enemy has a target for. He wants to take them out so that they cannot even fulfill their God-given assignment. you know, they're the ones that are going to be blessed, that God was going to use, you know. So he wants to attack them, just like in the beginning when they were to take out all of the male children. You know, it's like we're going back to that, you know, to where it's an assassination against the children. So we just have to be so mindful and so prayerful, you know, and see the time and the season that we are in. And if we pray, we will have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. But if we just ignore the signs, then we won't be able to know the spiritual forecast. So, again, my word to the parents is be prayerful and be watchful, because the adversary is going to and fro seeking who he can devour.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Kim. Elder Nitesha, you have the final word today. You know, what are we saying to our parents in light of, you know, the child being the perpetrator and the child being victims? What are we saying? What are we saying as their initial protector? Are you talking to the mute button now tonight, Tisha?
Yep, sorry. We first want to acknowledge and, you know, say that our hearts go out to all parents who have suffered devastating, you know, loss of a child. I can't even fathom the type of pain that, you know, one must feel and how that impacts the entire family. The aunts, the uncles, grandparents, cousins, it's an entire family that is hurt and impacted by this. And I believe that it is time for us to begin to turn back to God. One of the things that I just sense in my spirit. We have to turn back to God. We must begin to build altars in our homes and train our children on the things of God and turn our faces toward God. And Pastor Kim said it, being aware of the times. Here's what I think we have to take notice of. 2 Timothy breaks it down for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It is in the Word of God how we must govern ourselves, how we must check our own spirits to make sure that we don't line up with any of the things just read. And when we do, and if we do, when we find ourselves getting ready to make a decision that will endanger, that proves to be abusive, that proves to be lovers of ourselves, that proves for us to be conceited, then we must check ourselves and submit ourselves on the altar in order for our children to be safe. And then we must teach our children to look for these same things. We must be vigilant, spiritually fighting a spiritual war over ourselves, our own flesh, and over our children. This is how we can fight and win this battle, but it is only with God that we can do it. Let's return to God. Let's return to prayer. Let's return to God for strategy on how to parent. Let's have discernment on who to leave our children with. God is calling you, parent, to attention. Will you listen?
Amen. Amen, ladies. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies, for your contribution into this conversation. And we pray that you all have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you.
You as well.
Thank you. All righty. It's the Topo Wednesday, and we know what time it is.
It's time to get our Faith Over Fear segment. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. And you?
Heart's a little heavy. We had death close to us. But I'm here. We're making it through.
Amen. And we keep you lifted in prayer, as well as everybody thank you for joining us this morning. You know, we're talking about our young people, the tragedy that took place yesterday again. And, you know, Elder Natisha said it. And, you know, if we turn our lives to the Lord, you know, we can help combat some of this stuff. What's your faith over fear on that issue?
Absolutely. Having faith in God will be able to stand firm, and no matter what comes of the things that's going on in our lives, and being able to do the right thing for our children. If we come back to God and let him guard our minds, and let him be able to, and for us to be able to walk with him and knowing and trusting in him, that we will be able to conquer all things. When the ladies was talking, I do remember when we had no choice but to take our kids. If you wanted to go to the store, your mother say, take your baby with you. You know, you couldn't do anything. And if you wanted to go someplace that you did not, that children couldn't come, then you could not go. You had to make that decision. They made you be the parent of that baby, you know, and we have to just get out of that place of just being not responsible and knowing that we have to be responsible for the babies, because we are the ones that God trusts us with for us to be able to raise them, for us to be able to show them the way, for us to be able to teach them about the Lord's word and to stand on the Lord's word. And yes, we do. We're so far out, but you're never too far for God to bring you back. And no matter what your mind might tell you to do, but you have to trust. No matter what you see, you have to trust. No matter where you have been in whatever situation, you have to trust. We have to make a stand on God's word and let him guide and lead us, and let him be able to show us where we have fallen short. Because it's not easy being a mother. It's not easy, especially if you are a single parent. It's not easy. But you have to be able to put yourself in a position with some other women of God that we can be able to come together. I always talk about it takes a village. When they took out of that and everybody is into self, you can't raise no children by yourself. But this generation think that they can. I get mad at you, so I don't want you to help me. I get mad at my mother or my father or my sister, my brother. I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. But it takes a village to raise children. And then during this time right here, it takes all of us to be able. If you got some rice and I got some beans, we'll put it together. God will always increase if we try. He will always help us. But we have to take the stand first. And if we don't do that, then you on your own. So one thing about the Lord, he'll sit back and he'll let you. Go ahead. You don't need me. Go ahead. But you're going to turn right back around, and you're going to come back to me. So don't get out there too far and think that you've grown and you don't need nobody, or you got it all together and you don't need nobody. We all need each other. That's why we have the body of Christ. The kingdom comes together to help to build each other. It doesn't say be separated. So we can't come together and build with each other, then where will we be? Let's stop turning our backs on each other and be able to pray with each other and be able to stand. Because if not, that's where you'll be out there all alone, and the enemy is easy to talk in your mind. Be able to go to the go and find somebody, find a pastor, and be able to sit with them and talk to them. I need some help. I don't know what to do. I need some help. Or anybody, just be able to help, because at the end of the day, we want to raise kings and queens. We want to be able to raise people who are going to be able to help somebody else in the body of Christ in this kingdom, so the kingdom can continue to build on the way that God has. If we come together, we can be able to override all these tragedies that are out here today. It takes prayer. And that's my faith over fear on today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene. Thank you so much for your contribution today. And we pray you have a blessed day. All righty. It's that time. It's that time that we take to go before the Lord and hold hands and hold hearts. Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, our protector, our guide, we just give you thanks for all that you have done for each and every one of us, God. We're asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to just cover every family that was affected yesterday, including the family of the shooter, God. Lord, we're grateful because it was only 21 people. It could have been more. So, Lord, even as our hearts are heavy, even as we know this did not have to occur, we know that your will stands above everything. And we are grateful that more people were not affected, more people were not murdered. And Lord, we're just asking that if one family begins to look at you differently, then our hearts will rejoice, God. But we know that your master plan is always in effect, and that you will always, you're always aware of everything that's happening and that's going to happen. So we know, God, that you've got this situation in your hands. And Lord, we pray that, you know, we as individuals who are onlookers to this situation with the gun control out of control, that the schools are unprotected, the children are unprotected, God. We do have the mentally ill walking around, and we're exposed to them. We have those who are just simply evil that we are exposed to as well. And, Lord, we're just asking you to continue to cover us, God. We're asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to continue to keep us alert and aware and make sure that we stay close to you so that this isn't us. That we won't be that shooter. That we don't lose it, and now someone else is falling at our hands. Lord, we're asking that we become better parents. That this group of people who feel like they're owed something, that they don't have to do their job that they signed up for. That because things didn't work out the way they thought it would, we're asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to just help to raise, as Pastor Charlene said, kings and queens, so that our children who are at our mercy, that they would stand a better chance, that they would live healthier lives, that they would live safer lives, that they would live more sound minds. Our lives, that they would be closer to you because they would be introduced to you younger and younger, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just lift up the
two 10-year-old girls who are missing after the school shooting yesterday, and their families are fearing that they also may have been killed during the shooting. Lord, we just lift those families to you, for you know where they're located. You know what's happened to them. And God, we're asking that you just cover them and draw them closer to you, that they would trust you just a little bit more, that they would want to know the God that could give them comfort, that could give them hope, that could give them peace, and that could give them rest. And Lord, we're just asking you to just surround them with your love, that they would feel you at this time, that someone would say something that would draw them closer to you, that there would be a sign or a billboard or something that helps them understand that they need you, God. So, Lord, here we are as your chosen individuals who know who you are, who we're aware and we see the breakdown, that we understand what's going on, that you would enable us to step up and be a greater help. Thank you, Father, for making us aware. Thank you, God, for enabling us to help. Thank you, God, for allowing us to come up in a generation where you had to do, so we know what it is to fight and not lay down. We know what it is to work and not rest. We know what it is to not let every little thing just break us down, and that we can instill this into those who are doing it now. Thank you. Thank you for rescuing us when we were young mothers and fathers. Thank you for having that generation above us who instilled certain things in us that maybe they didn't even do themselves, but by learning, seeing, hearing, that they made sure that we got that guidance and that counsel. Thank you. Thank you, God. We love you for all that you do, and sometimes for what you don't do. In the precious name of Jesus, we lift your name on high. Amen. You know, as the ladies were talking, something came to my mind, and kind of goes with what they're saying and what they've said. But where my mind went, if we would stop being so rebellious, if we would stop being so belligerent, if we would stop being so disobedient, we wouldn't find ourselves in a lot of states that we find ourselves in. You know, we talk about the parent who's needs that break or feels that they're owed that break because things have just gotten too much for them. But God has been introduced to them. Well, guess what? I go back to what, you know, I'm where Pastor Kim is when she keeps talking about, you know, we're in our last and evil days. I'm at, you know what? If we just do what we're supposed to do, we won't end up here. You know, this is God's hand. Just being raised. This is God just taking that step back. And if we would stop telling God no, that's my thing. Stop telling God no. Stop telling God I don't want you. Stop telling God no thank you. Stop telling God later. Stop telling God maybe. Then maybe we wouldn't find ourselves in such a hard place to be. You know, we don't have those praying grandmas that we had back in the day. Elder Natisha talked about her praying grandma. Lady Tamika has talked about her praying grandma. Pastor Kim at one point talked about her praying grandma. We've all had praying grandma. We've all had praying grandmas. Grandma ain't praying no more. So where we found covering, you know, just like the lady said, you know, years ago, you know, we were told and taught to do things. And when grandma saw that we weren't doing it,
Grandma got on her knees and prayed. And God answered Grandma, because Grandma's life was hidden in Christ. And because Grandma was obedient, everything under Grandma was blessed. We don't have that now. We ain't got praying grandmas. We ain't got praying parents. You know, everybody wants to live their life, and now they're trying to figure out why their backs are up against the wall. Well, I tell you, one person who has lived her life without Christ, and, you know, now I'm living my life in Christ. Oh, I can tell you why. Because when we tell God no and no thank you, he's not going to keep hanging around. He's not going to push himself or force himself on us. We have been given the free ability to say and do what we want to do. God is letting us know, if you choose me, this is what I got. But if you choose that, this is what you get. And a lot of times we don't see it because God keeps covering us. And now God is at the point where he's saying, you know what? No thank you. If that's what you want, I'm moving aside. So we need to make sure that we do what God needs us to do. We have to make sure that we're obedient. Because if we were praying parents, we would not be stuck sometimes with the tragedies that we're stuck with. Now, it happens. It happens all over the place. And I'm not saying that, you know, once you're in the Lord, nothing happens. That's not what I'm saying, and I hope that's not what you're getting. But what I say to you is, as long as you are uncovered, you cannot go wherever you want to go. You cannot do whatever you want to do, and you're going to be covered under the grace of God. You know, he's called our names because we call his name. Isn't that where you want to be? You know, I just got finished telling you I have an angry girl. Now, I don't know what she's angry about. And I'm a praying mama. She comes from a praying family. She was raised in the church. She was blessed to have a lot of things that other children didn't have. She had things her own sisters didn't have. So that's why I said you can't say that, you know, if you don't pray, this will happen. Because if you're praying, this will happen. And she speaks with a great level of sense. She understands, but for whatever the reason is, maybe the company she's keeping, you know, I don't know, but she's definitely in a generation that feels that, you know, they're owed some things. She comes home and, you know, did you cook? I said, well, you act like we married and you just slept with me last night. I don't owe you nothing. You grown. Go in there and cook. You should be asking me, Ma, what would you like for dinner tonight? But if she wants to cook, she'll cook. And if not, she expects, comes home, opens up the refrigerator. Like she didn't pay the bill. So they feel like they're owed something. You got a roof over your head, a bed to sleep in, you living for free, pretty much. You better get on your hands and knees and thank God that you got a praying mama. Because I know a whole lot of mamas that would not be blessing you like this girl. So, you know, think about life without God. Oh, if we're going through this stuff with God, think about your life without God. That's what this world is experiencing. It's experiencing the repercussions of a life without God. Don't let it be you. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew. All the ladies always come through big time for us. And I want to thank you for
actively participating in today's conversation. Couldn't do it without you. Please make sure you accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to you. Until tomorrow with Therapeutic Thursday. Oh, God spares our life. I love you.